This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. In all the coverage of last week's election, a state ballot measure regarding sales tax didn't get as much attention as some other campaigns. I'm not talking about Question 3, the measure that would have cut the state's sales tax in half. I'm talking about Question 1, which asked voters whether alcohol should be exempt from state sales tax. Voters rejected Question 3, which means sales tax in Massachusetts is now 6.25%. But voters passed Question 1, which means alcohol now has no sales tax at all. That alcohol sales tax revenue had helped fund substance abuse treatment programs. But now that the tax has been repealed, about $110 million fewer dollars will flow into state coffers each year. And that's a big deal to the substance abuse programs that used to benefit from those funds. One of them is Victory Programs. It got its start in Boston in 1975, helping homeless men who are struggling with alcohol abuse. Now it has 11 residential shelters and 6 outpatient programs throughout Greater Boston. Listeners, did you vote last Tuesday? If so, how did you vote on Question 1? If you voted yes, meaning you voted to repeal the sales tax on alcohol, give us a call and let us know why. You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We're joined in the studio by Elizabeth Dugan. She's the current chair of the Board of Directors of Victory Programs, which I just mentioned. And later in this conversation, we're also going to talk with Jonathan Scott, who's the CEO of Victory Programs. But before we go to Jonathan, Elizabeth, you're also a former Victory Programs resident. So you started as a resident and eventually joined its board. So meaning you actually came to Victory Programs as someone in need of treatment. Can you tell us what led you to seek treatment through that program?
Sure. So my journey with Victory Programs began at Women's Hope, which is a residential program for women dealing with addiction and other issues. By the time I ended up there, I had tried various other programs and was unsuccessful. I ended up at Women's Hope, and my journey with Victory Programs started there. I think Victory is a little bit different than other programs throughout the city. They provide comprehensive services that did something different for me to get me back on track, to reconnect with my family, to give me access to education and vocational opportunities. And, you know, from there, I participated in 2 other programs with Victory Programs, and that was in 1996.
So it was basically alcohol use or alcohol abuse that led you to Victory Programs?
Correct.
And what exactly were the services they offered you? Because you mentioned you had done other programs that didn't work. So what was it about this program that worked? What did they do differently?
I think the main thing about Victory Programs is the way that the mission and the thinking behind the way that clients are treated, that clients are treated with dignity and respect, and that things are broken down and individualized in their treatment plans, somewhat customized to for clients to be successful. So in despair and hopelessness, you're unable to feel that for yourself. The difference, I think, at Victory is that staff are able to provide that hope for clients when they are unable to do that for themselves.
Is that where you feel that you had gotten, to despair and hopelessness?
Absolutely. Absolutely, yes.
What point had your life reached? How would you decide where you were? How did you explain where you were when you went to Victory Programs?
I was unemployable, homeless, hopeless, and destitute.
And they housed you?
Yes. Yep. I stayed in their programs to become stable. And in the meantime, eventually moved into an apartment and then was able to participate in a first-time home buyers thing. And, you know, I own my own home today. I've reconnected with my family. I have wonderful employment and career choices today. So
you went from describing yourself as unemployable to having a life that sounds very full and stable.
Yes.
So This program now, the Victory program, is one of the programs that, because of the alcohol, the sales tax on alcohol being removed, potentially loses some of its funding. Do you have a sense, as a member of its board, of how it could jeopardize the program?
Yes. Well, I think that it's extremely concerning that programs and services will be cut, because on an individual level, the things that I was able to take advantage of, but it is the impact that it has on others, the community, families, businesses. People need to be able to be productive members of society. If they're not able to do that, then other things are impacted. The crime rate goes up, homelessness numbers go up. So for every price tag, there's another consequence.
Elizabeth Dugan, I mentioned that Jonathan Scott is also in the studio with us. Jonathan is the CEO of Victory Programs. And Jonathan, we just heard Elizabeth talk about why she went to Victory Programs. Is that a fairly typical story?
Well, it is. And I think that we have over 200 men, women, and children living throughout the various Victory Programs residents. And I think there's, of course, everybody's story is different, but there's a common theme in that everybody's there because of alcohol and other drug abuse.
So now that the revenue that used to go from the sales tax on alcohol is no longer flowing into the state, there's 110 fewer dollars available to fund substance abuse programs like yours. Do you anticipate this hurting your program much?
Well, I think, you know, this really knocked out the front teeth to me of Massachusetts' budget. I think we have an incredibly wonderful state and a strong economy, but this sales tax on alcohol assured a stable and sustainable funding stream for prevention and treatment and recovery programs in really bad economic times. And the last two state budgets actually were able to increase funding for various treatment and funding programs because of this tax, while other human service programs suffered.
Jonathan, you wrote a letter to the editor in which you described the human cost, really, of the cuts as incalculable. So if we can actually calculate the cut at about $110 million, you said it's actually incalculable in terms of the impact it has. In what way? How do you mean?
Well, you know, I have been fortunate to be in Massachusetts 35 years, and I've actually worked at Victory Programs my entire professional career. I started at 18 years old when I was a freshman at Boston College. It was the end of the Vietnam War, and I was very committed to social justice work, and I helped open up and be a part of this first halfway house for men recovering from alcohol who were primarily Vietnam vets. I think over the last 35 years, we have developed an incredibly robust and comprehensive system in the state of care that includes detox centers, it includes recovery homes, includes outpatient treatment, family programs. And I think because there has been a recognition of the role and the devastating role that alcohol abuse can play in people's lives. So Victory Programs is only one small part of the many programs in the state.
I'm talking with Jonathan Scott and Elizabeth Dugan, who are both with Victory Programs. It's an organization that helps people struggling with alcohol and substance abuse. We're talking about the sales tax on alcohol being repealed last week, which means that the revenue from that tax is no longer going to substance abuse treatments. And we're taking calls at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I want to bring in a caller from Beverly. This is Matt. And Matt, what are your thoughts on question one, which was the question that repealed the sales tax on alcohol?
I personally voted no, because I thought it was more of a moral question than an economical question. And I saw most of the rhetoric from the other side of the question going towards saying that alcohol is more of a luxury, a necessity rather than a luxury, which I didn't agree with, and I felt like the rhetoric was going in entirely the wrong direction.
Matt, thanks for that. And before we comment on your remark, I want to bring in another caller who voted to repeal the tax, and this is Will from Waltham. And Will, why did you vote to repeal the alcohol sales tax?
Well, it's already taxed federally and state as an excise tax, so the tax is already a tax on a tax, which seems a little morally questionable. Also, since the tax is only as old as the increased regular sales tax, it clearly hasn't been an absolute necessity for the last 30 years. It's been an absolute necessity for, 1 year? And I have a real doubt that earmarks ever actually, ever for the long term, get used for what they're supposed to be. We've got an earmark on all motorcycle, lots of motorcycle things that are supposed to go to motorcycle training, and it all goes into the general fund, and motorcycle training is way, way, way underfunded, despite the fact that we have all this income from motorcycle fees.
So Will, you wonder whether the money even ends up going to where people say it will go. Will, again, before we comment on you, let me bring in one more caller, and this is Brian from Marblehead. And Brian, what's your thought about the alcohol sales tax having been repealed?
I don't know if I have a thought on whether it should or shouldn't be repealed, but I was curious, how were all these programs funded before the sales tax was on? We've only had sales tax on alcohol for about a year.
Brian, thanks for that. And actually, Jonathan, I think that's a very good question. And what about that one? You know, it was only last year that that sales tax was on alcohol at all. Before that, there was no tax. So it's only been a year since that $110 million or so has been flowing into the state budget. So the programs arguably didn't have that much time to even get used to the extra money. So how big is the impact in that context?
Well, in context, I think about a year and a half ago, we were facing a worldwide economic meltdown that absolutely targeted and affected Massachusetts, and we were looking at a multi-billion dollar deficit in our state budget, where during the governor's multiple 9C cuts over a couple year period, health and human service programs and addiction and substance abuse programs were directly cut and affected. So I was also here in 2002 and 2003 when we also were feeling an economic crisis in Massachusetts, and 50% of the state's detoxification programs literally closed overnight. 500 beds were lost, programs that had operated for 25 to 30 years or more. So yes, the state of Massachusetts and our great Department of Public Health has underwritten many of the contracts of our detox and our recovery home programs throughout the state. But clearly, they're in jeopardy now. We are facing and looking at close to a $2 billion deficit coming up very soon after the first of the year. And when I say losing this tax knocked out the front teeth of Massachusetts' budget, I firmly believe that now we have to come up with another $110 million that was dedicated specifically to prevention and treatment programs.
So it sounds like you're saying there was never an overflow by any means of money for substance abuse programs. Now that the economic situation is worse in the state, it hurts even more to have lost money that you may only have had for the past year or so.
Yes. And it helped stabilize the budget, and it helped actually reallocate resources in other important areas like AIDS services and family prevention programs at the Department of Health.
Jonathan Scott and Elizabeth Dugan, both of you with Victory Programs, could either of you talk about and could talk again about whether you think that you immediately are going to have to look to the cutting board now? Are you going to have to say we simply can't offer all the services we did before as a result of this, or are you searching for some other way to preserve the programs you have, either one of you? Elizabeth?
As the board chair, I would say that we're always looking for creative ways to preserve our programs. We've been very creative in the past and been very fortunate to have other funding streams come through and allow us to continue providing services that are much needed for our clients.
And Jonathan?
I always think that, you know, I'm trying to always be optimistic that in the worst economic times, you really have to look at the most creative ways to stabilize your business or whatever you're doing. So Victory Programs has been engaged in a few mergers recently that really helped other agencies that were very powerful and important services merge under our umbrella. The AIDS Housing Corporation and Rua House in Cambridge are two examples of that.
I just want to read quickly a comment that has been posted on that came in, and it said that a caller from Newport said she voted to repeal the tax, but she now feels bad because she hadn't realized what it funded. So sounds like a little voter's remorse for people who may not have realized. Jonathan Scott and Elizabeth Dugan, I want to say thank you to both of you for coming in. Both Jonathan and Elizabeth are with Victory Programs, which is a substance abuse treatment series of programs, and its funding is somewhat in jeopardy as a result of the ballot question that passed last week. Thank you very much for both of you for coming in.
Thank you, Sasha.
Thank you.
And before we go, one more thing. Last Friday, we talked about a Sunderland, Massachusetts-based cooking magazine that published the work of an author without permission. The story blew up on the internet, and WBUR's Andrew Phelps spoke to the author of the repurposed material. You can hear that story on our website, wbur.org/Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.